Glad to see everybody here this morning. Yeah, we're still a little light from what we normally have, but it's good to be here. It's a nice day. It's not too hot. It's going to be comfortable. I was looking at my phone, and it's going to be pretty comfortable for the next couple of weeks, so it ought to be pretty nice. And we ought to be thankful for that. And so, but anyway, we're going to talk this morning about making the right choice in life. And this is something that's important. We all need to understand this. And everything we do in life is done by the choices we make. I mean, everything you've ever done, every place you've ever gone, is because of the choices that have been made. For the most part, the choices that you make for yourself. Now, there's sometimes when we're younger, our parents make our choices for us, determine where we're going to go and how long we're going to stay there. But for the most part, once we become adults, everything we do is by our own choice. And so we either choose to do right, we choose to do wrong. And if we choose to do wrong, yes, there's going to be consequences. And all of our choices have consequences. There's either good consequences or bad consequences, depending on what choice we have made. While we may recognize that we have choices and we are the ones to make those choices, there are doctrines of men that eliminate choices for us. And you probably didn't consider this, but we are going to be talking about the false teaching of Calvinism for just a moment. And it's the most popular doctrine outside of the Bible. In fact, probably 80 to 90% of the denominations out there hold to the teaching of John Calvin, which basically, if you've never heard of it, it's that basically follows the tenets of TULIP, total hereditary depravity. In other words, people are born in sin. And then, of course, unconditional election. God's going to decide who goes to heaven, not you. You don't have that choice. You may want to go to heaven, but if he's decided you're not going to heaven, you're not going to heaven. And so that's the unconditional election. The limited atonement, and it's only for certain people. I mean, Christ died for all, but they teach it's for limited atonement. And then, of course, irresistible grace is the eye of this tulip. And it basically says, you can't help it. If God's going to throw his grace on you, you cannot resist it. And, of course, that goes against what the Bible teaches, because, like I say, it is our choice that we have to make. And then the perseverance of the saints. Once you've been selected, there's nothing you can do that'll cause you to lose your soul. And of course, we see this in the various doctrines of different groups out there. And so it's all outside the Bible. They don't follow the Bible at all. And so that is a choice people make. And of course, this doctrine eliminates choice. And there are many different teachings and understandings of Calvinism. Yeah, just like everything else, I mean, premillennialism, there's about 10 or 15 different doctrines of premillennialism, depending on which tenet you want to hold to. And there's, of course, other teachings that take place. There's many different doctrines on the work of the Holy Spirit, different doctrines on how God's grace works, and things like that. So there's different understandings of Calvinism, but still the point is, it takes away our choices. The main points or tenets of Calvinism remove all choices from mankind and places everything into God's hands. And so when you think about it, in its logical conclusion, if I have no choice in the matter, why do we even need to make a choice? Well, we don't. We just live life, do what we want, and if God decides we're going to go to heaven, we're going to go to heven. If he decides we're going to hell, we're going to hell. There's nothing we can do about either situation. So why worry about it? I mean, that's the problem with this. Because the Bible teaches us over and over, make the choice. Make the right choice. So the problem with this teaching is that God has given us things we must choose to do or not do something. And by either doing or not doing, God will decide to punish or reward us. So exposing the error can be difficult for many. There are some people who do not like us standing in the pulpit exposing error. But yet the Bible commands that we do so. Why? Because error can lead to lost souls. Lost souls do not go to heaven. As Christians, we should be concerned about those souls to warn them about error. So some might get bored by hearing about the error. You might get bored about hearing about the tenets of Calvinism. But realize that if you have a friend in most of the denominations, in any of the denominations, they probably believe some form of Calvinism. And so in order to get to them, you have to understand what they believe so you can guide them to the scripture and say, that's not what the Bible says. And here's what the Bible says. And so basically confront them, say, now, are we going to believe what the Bible says, or are we going to believe what you say? And get it down to that point. And so they find themselves not only at odds with you, but they're at odds with God. Because we know what God said. So we don't want to get bored by hearing about the error and false teaching out there, because that's causing people to lose their souls. And so some may not care that error can cause lost souls. Now here's a sad thing. A lot of people, they don't care. They don't care what they teach in all these other places, and it really doesn't bother them. And that's really sad. It should bother us. And then some may not care to hear the truth. And that's a very strong possibility also. Well, don't bother me with the truth. Don't bore me with the truth. Either way, it is incumbent upon every Christian to know the truth that sets us free. We have to know it. And we have to know it for many different reasons. The very best way to prevent error is to be totally involved in the Bible and study the scriptures so that we can know when something is not right. I mean, if you're so involved in the scripture, you know it's not right. Back in Ranger, we had one of our members was a worker at the bank. And she handled lots of money. And I always use this description that she handled it so much, when she came across something that wasn't genuine or real, she knew it immediately. I mean, she could just be thrumming through a whole bunch of bills, and all of a sudden, whoa, that's a counterfeit. I mean, she's busy. She's thinking about other stuff, might be thinking about what's for dinner, going through, counting this month, and all of a sudden, something is not the original. Guess what? She's attuned to that. She knows, wait a minute, there's a problem here. And that's how we should be. When someone teaches error, we should say, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. And so we have to know the Bible well enough to know if whoever's standing in this pulpit is not teaching the truth. We've got to be able to recognize that and give them, one, the opportunity to correct it, and if they don't, then stand up and say something about it. Ask them questions if necessary. Get things clarified, so to speak. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning about choice and see if we are given the ability to make a choice. And I'll leave it up to you by the time we finish. Do we have the ability to make a choice, or is it all in God's hands and God's going to decide everything? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. The thing about God giving us choices, what's so great about it, he cares about us so much, he tells us which choice to make. You know, it says you can do right, you can do wrong. But he always tells, do right. Guess what? There's going to be a benefit to that. That both you and your descendants may live. See, God had given them the choices and told Israel which choice was the best. And God has always done that. He's always done that. You know, in this world, you're out there and people give you choices to make. They don't tell you what's the right choice. You remember the game? It was one of those shows like Let's Make a Deal. You got door number one and door number two, door number three. Did you ever hear the announcer say, choose number two, choose number two, choose number two? Then, I'll go number one, then bonkers. But still, you didn't hear that on that game show. But here's what God does. You have door number one, you have door number two. God says, choose number one, choose number one. It's going to be great for you. Choose number one. And you know what most people do? We'll go with number two. That's what they do. So God gave us those choices. See, in Joshua 24:15, here's what Joshua told the people. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a choice Joshua made. But he was telling them, you got to make a choice. What is this? You decide. Now, if you don't want to serve the Lord, fine. That's your choice. But we're going to serve the Lord. Me and my house are. You know, there was a time when Elisha contended with the servants of Baal. He got the 400 prophets of Baal to build the altars, and they prayed to their God, and nothing happened. And Elijah prayed to his God, and of course the fire came down and consumed his altar, even after he poured water all over it. But he told the people, how long will it be before you make a choice? You can either serve the gods of the Baals, or you can serve the living God. You've got to decide. Make that choice. In other words, make up your minds. And that's what Joshua was telling the people. Make up your minds who you're going to serve. Proverbs 1:29. The writer says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's what people who are ignorant of God's law, who don't choose to go with the wisdom of God's word, they choose. They did not choose. And there was something wrong with that. And Proverbs 3:31 says, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. I mean, we have people we can look at who are oppressors of the truth. And we don't want to follow their ways. So don't choose to go that direction. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. In 1 Corinthians 14, around verse 33, evil companions corrupt good morals. We're constantly telling our kids, choose your friends wisely. Do they listen? Most of the time they don't. They have to find out for themselves. But yet, we also have the ability to choose our friends, and we should do so wisely. See, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. This is what God provides. He says, I'm giving you a choice. Life, death, good, evil. I mean, it's your choice. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. So God tells us, you choose life. How do you do that? Well, by doing what he says, by practicing righteousness. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, what we say will determine, do we have death or do we have life? Paul tells us about speaking words that are fit for encouragement, words that are fit for edification. And don't be filling your mouth up with coarse jesting or anything that's bad or anything like that. Jeremiah 21 and verse 8. Now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And that's what God has always done from the days of Moses. He started telling these people, this is the way it is. You choose my way, there's going to be life. You choose your way, there's going to be death. Now, what's your choice? Now, sadly, most of the world chooses death. And we're talking spiritual death. And, of course, the ultimate end result of that is eternal torment in hell. I mean, that's just the obvious consequence of choosing that way of death. But the way of righteousness will lead us to heaven, which will be wonderful. In Romans 8 and verse 6, Paul was telling the people, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is thinking worldly. When you think worldly in your mind, I mean, you're thinking about what the world cherishes, what the world involves itself in. And, I mean, if we started describing it, we'd probably have to label this an X-rated sermon. So we're not going to go into detail. But anyway, to be thinking like the world, that's totally different from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, we'll have life in Christ. We have peace with God if we are spiritually minded. And it's our choice if we're going to do that. Deuteronomy 28, we won't read it, but the verses 1 through 14, God describes to the people the blessings for obedience. And they sound almost too good to be true when you sit down and read them. I mean, this is great. Why would anybody not do that? But notice from verse 15 through 68, he spends all this time talking about the penalties for disobedience. Why would he have just a few verses for blessings for obedience, but yet spend so much time talking about penalties for disobedience? Well, guess what? That's what most people are going to choose. And we know that. In Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, Jesus talks about the pathways. The broad pathway which leads to destruction, and many are on it. And then the narrow pathway which leads to eternal life, and there will be few that find it. And we see a similar thing in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 13. Blessings for obedience. All sorts of blessings. I mean, why would you not take this opportunity and enjoy these blessings? And then, same situation, 14 through 46, penalties for disobedience. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but that's the way of the world. We mentioned this last week in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? You know, like I said, this world is mixed up. And logically thinking, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And this society is always against those who really are working towards the betterment of society, but yet they're putting them down. It's the dregs of society that they're lifting up and saying, hey, these are the type of people we want to be. See, Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, yes, we should do this. And we can go through all the scriptures and talk about all the things we should be doing, but it's all, when you get down to it, is a choice. Whatever it is, whether it's our spiritual growth. On Friday nights, we have a Bible study going on. Our first lesson was spiritual growth is a choice. It is a choice not only commanded by God, but it's also encouraged by God and supported by God and blessed by God if we make that choice to be spiritually minded. See, everyone has a choice of good or evil. Every time we wake up and we start making decisions for the day, I mean, it's either good or it's going to be bad. And some people need to take God's advice when God said, this is the right choice. You know, for me personally, whenever I've made choices, I usually make the wrong choice. If I'm trying to go someplace, I say, okay, do I go right or do I go left? Well, let's take right. That's the wrong choice. I got to make a U-turn. And other things. And then if I got on a game show, we'll choose door number one, door number two, I'd always choose the wrong door number. I don't think I've ever been successful in making the right choice. And I've just learned to live with that. So I kind of, wait a minute. I got to rethink this. What choice does God want me to make? All right, that's how we need to look at it. Don't rely upon yourself. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. See, everyone makes their own choice in everything they do. You get up, you take your bath, your shower, you decide to get dressed. What do? You go to your closet, you open it up, you have a choice to make, right? You do. You have a choice. Okay, what color underwear am I going to wear today? Is it going to be purple, or is it going to be green, or is it going to be blue, or white, or black? What color? I mean, you have a choice like that. I know some people dress that way. I mean, their undergarments have to match the outer garments. Doesn't make any sense to me, because you don't see those. But still, everyone makes their own choice. We know that in everything we do. You have a choice today to submit to God, start serving God, or choose to keep in your current condition that will result in eternal damnation. See, that's the important thing about this lesson. It's your choice. And if you have not chosen to serve God, guess what? That is death. That is spiritual death, and that will result in damnation. So now you have a choice. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? Ask yourself that. Do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? In other words, to stop the sin in your life. Start living for God, living for Jesus, living for others, rather than just living for yourself. Will you confess your faith before men? As we're commanded there in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Matthew 10, 32. Confessing Him. Will you confess your faith before men? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? And why is that so important? Well, because your sins keep you separated from God. And that's what they do. And baptism is the only thing that washes away our sins. And are you ready to live the rest of your life for God? That's the question, and the choice is going to be yours. So consider those things. We're going to sing our invitation song. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to make the right choice while together we stand and sing.